Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We got 24 and a half more minutes to bring forth. And joining me in studio, I'm Tim Wildman with Wesley Wildman. Good morning, Wesley, again.
Morning.
Fred Jackson.
Howdy again.
And now Steve Paisley, Jordahl.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, Brother Steve?
I'm well.
So, Wesley's taking a team of all-star 10-year-old baseball players down to Lafayette, Louisiana, right?
Lafayette,
my bad.
I'm just kidding. I had to do that. It's going to happen all week down there.
Gosh. Is
that Lafayette?
I don't know.
As we mentioned before, there's at least three pronunciations.
That's right.
If you live in Indiana, I think it's Lafayette.
Right. We got Lafayette.
Like where Purdue is, right, university. And then if you live in Mississippi, it's Lafayette.
That's right, yep.
That's where Ole Miss is, Oxford. And if you go down to the bayou, it's
Lafayette,
Louisiana.
So we'll be going down there July the 28th through August 2nd. There are teams from all over the country that are representing their state. And some states have more than one team. But we'll go down there and we'll play. And there's different age groups ranging from 8 years old all the way up to 14. And I'm coaching one of the two 10-year-old Mississippi teams. So,
okay. Well.
Be there for a week.
And your mom and I are going down.
Yeah, be there.
Well, we're going down to primarily to find the good restaurants.
The food, that's
in
right.
The area. But we are going to be at the baseball games, too.
And as you point out, you're there for your grandson.
I am. I'm supporting you, too.
You support me, too, but mostly.
I'm more there for my grandson. That's just the way it is. He's going to be on the field actually doing the hard work.
That's right.
Okay. So, anyway, we're looking forward.
You'll be calling in with restaurant reviews?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, Allison's already sent me like five. She said, hey, this is a 4.8 review. We're going to go there.
Got to go there, yeah.
Anyway, I love Cajun food.
Mm-hmm.
And
how hot do you like?
Well, not so much that you... Tears come to your eyes. I don't like that so much, but I do like a little spicy food, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't go to South Louisiana if you don't want spicy food, right?
Uh-huh.
So looking forward to that coming up. All right, Steve.
Hey.
What you got a restaurant review, Steve?
Well, I have a favorite Mexican restaurant here in Smithville, actually. It's my favorite Mexican restaurant.
There's more than one?
I know, only one Mexican restaurant in Smithfield, but it's probably the best one in the county.
Okay.
Of Amory and everywhere.
This all right, what's the name of it, Steve?
Los Jefes. J-E-F-E-S.
They have their own version of spice.
Steve's talking about in Mississippi.
Yeah, I'm talking about, right.
Smithfield, Mississippi. For those who don't know. Okay.
So that's my restaurant review.
That's your review, 5.0?
That's my review. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, 5.0. Such good food. Such good food.
All right, Steve, what's your first story?
So I have about a 40-minute commute to work from home, and I spend that time usually listening to podcasts. I like to kind of keep up with what's going on. And one of the podcasts that I regularly listen to is the Joe Rogan podcast, which, as an aside, makes it kind of interesting to me when I hear the left call him conservative. He's nothing of the kind. He's often not political in the least.
Kind of independent.
He's independent, right.
Yeah.
But he had, as a guest, his current episode of the Joe Rogan Experience, have Vice President J.D. Vance, and he were talking. And they covered a whole gamut of topics. But one of the things that they covered was the president's effort to stop Iran from spreading terrorism around the world and from getting a nuclear bomb and being a threat. And he made an interesting statement there. He said, well, I'll let you listen to what he said. Listen to cut 14.
But I definitely think you have seen this very discreet, extremely well-funded campaign to try to derail the negotiation and try to derail the deal. And, you know, there's this Time article that came out yesterday. A friend sent it to me. It's like worth reading because it lists a bunch of people who have quite literally been paid by a former Trump campaign person who was himself paid by certain elements within the Israeli government. And those people are attacking me viciously for quite literally trying to accomplish the negotiation objective that the president set for the country. So
what is their position? Like, are they attacking you how?
Oh, it's social media posts. It's, you know, they're leaking to reporters. They're attacking me obsessively, saying that we should not be negotiating with Iran. We should just keep the military campaign going indefinitely. And that is their explicit position. You know, people have come after me and say that I'm influenced by Qatar, that I'm influenced by foreign governments, that, you know, I take my marching orders from Tucker Carlson. And what I'm actually trying to do is accomplish what the President of the United States told me to accomplish, which is a settlement of this that accomplishes our objectives.
What's noteworthy about that?
Well, it was interesting that he said that there are sources in Israel and here that would like to see they're opposing any kind of negotiated settlement.
That's not earth-shattering news to me.
It's Fred. Not earth-shattering.
Is it to you, Fred?
No, I think every military expert that appears on Fox says you can't trust these guys,
right?
These Islamic leaders. They lie. It's a sport to them. And that in order to win the battle, really win the battle, you're going to have to continue the military campaign.
Now, what I did hear, I thought I heard him saying right there, J.D. Vance, was that he's saying, and he sounds like he's being critical of this, yes, but maybe not.
I think so.
He's saying Israel is paying people in the U.S. to get their policy positions advanced, meaning war with Iran.
That is one of the things he said.
And they're trying to influence people to influence me while I'm trying to negotiate with Iran, and I don't appreciate, maybe I'm reading too much into what he said, I don't appreciate Israel leaning on people and leaning on me to...
I think that's the...
Is that what he's...
I think that's the main point of what he's saying.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all heard that too?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't want to miscarry.
And I think, I think both things can be true at the same time. I could very well see Israel's position that, like, we don't even want to... We've been doing this for years. We're just going to bomb them.
Right.
And then on the other hand, you got President Trump that's trying to make a deal and trying to get back home and try to, you know, have a stopping point.
Yeah.
And Vance is part of that process.
Listen, keeping on this same subject, not exactly with J.D. Vance there, but with I think President Trump does not want to bomb the infrastructure of Iran. And I know I agree with him on that.
Partly because I think he knows we're going to have to rebuild it.
Yeah, but let me just say this. I think he hasn't said, and maybe he'll talk about it tonight. That is like, the last thing you want to do.
That's the best way to say it. It's the last thing, but it's on the table.
It might have to be done.
Yep.
I don't know.
I think it
does.
But
if you're but President Trump, if I could guess, is being told if you bomb the bridges and you bomb the electrical plants and you bomb their energy sources, you're going to leave millions of people in darkness. You're going to leave millions of people without food, potentially. It's going to be a humanitarian disaster. Not for the leaders of Iran. They're probably safe and secure in their bunkers with a lot of food, but it's going to create mass chaos throughout the region if you do that to them. Again, I guess that's what he's being told. And also, once you start doing what I've just described, there's no turning back. Okay? You can't say, I'm going to destroy their energy source for millions of people in Iran and their bridges and their roads, and then you can't say, I wish I wouldn't have done that.
You can't unbomb Iran.
Because you know what? It's going to take years to potentially to get that back in order. Now, you could also create, which I'm not saying is good or bad, but you could create a vacuum of power in Iran. Iran is how many millions of people there? Look it up. I want to say it's like 80 million people live in Iran or 90 million people live in Iran. It's not a small country. So you could have a civil war start taking place, which, as I say, may not be the worst thing to happen there. But
80 million by 2016.
Okay, 80 million. I wasn't far off. Do you see what I'm saying here, Fred?
I'm sorry. 93.2 million people.
Yeah, it's going up.
90 million? Okay.
90 million.
Yeah, President Trump has said if he doesn't, if they don't sit down and start dealing again, that bridges and power plants are next.
Yeah.
He has said that. But I agree with you. The original hope in all of this was that there would be regime change and that the people would be the good guys in Iran, the people who work hard, would rise up and take over the government.
Problem is they don't have a Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. They don't have a constitution like we have. You're saying that the citizens are not armed.
They're not armed.
No, no.
So. They're not armed. But, so they're really roving gangs of these militia of the Iranian government. They ruled the streets.
Yeah. And they ruled the streets in January, shooting tens of thousands of protesters.
Yeah, I think what the U.S. has to do, if there's a hope of winning this war, is that they basically have to nullify all the military establishment. They have to take out, because the Iranians are still firing missiles. They're still launching drones.
Oh, yeah, even today.
Yes.
Even today, they're attacking some of the Arab states there that are, they would say, are aligned with the U.S.
Yeah, so they have to take out the whole military establishment there, if that's possible, in Iran. And then you might have victory without destroying the bridges and the power plants, et cetera, et cetera.
Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that President Trump, It's impossible to have regime change without troops on the ground, and he's unwilling, for good reason, not to put troops on the ground there. So it seems to me he was put in a no-win situation. If we had to start intervening there because they were weeks away from getting a nuclear weapon, which a lot of people agree they would have used, you have to do something, but you can't go in and finish the job. So I don't know how you're supposed to.
Let me ask you guys something here, and I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm just asking a question. If we have turned our war efforts into we can't put boots on the ground, what are the Marines for? Mm. What's the Army for? Because it seems like now every time we talk about any kind of conflict or war, we talk about but no boots on the ground. I'm not saying do it. I'm just saying that seems to be off the table now. In any kind of discussions, maybe we were just...
You're talking about the what-ifs or possibilities. You're saying that they're...
I'm saying when you plan a military strategy and you start off with saying no boots on the ground, then you've handcuffed yourself. You've handcuffed yourself on what you're able to do in order to win a war. Does that make sense? Because every war we've ever had, we've lost soldiers, sadly, and Marines and airmen and so forth. People are going to die. So, you know, they're going to die. That's unfortunate. It's sad. You want to limit the casualties, but that's just going to happen if you're going to do some things that need to take place in order to accomplish an ultimate objective. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. There's one other thing that has bothered me from day 10 of all this. Things were going fairly smooth, and you know,
You're talking about the Iran war?
The Iran war, the first 10 days, 2 weeks, I was cheering it on. This is great. Let's do this. Kind of got a little murky with what the primary objective was at week 3, and I was like, okay, I'm not. When we woke up and then we were held hostage by the Strait for a month.
Right.
That has been irritating me ever since.
Right.
If this was a war that you planned, we, the United States, we planned it, and the strait was not on
you're
the...
saying it wasn't, you're saying the fact that it looks like the American side, and of course the Israelis, we work with them, but the American...
That wasn't
our military leadership did not have a plan for what to do if the strait was closed. That's what you're
and
saying.
And then being held hostage to the strait?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden we want to wait till July this past week we started bombing the
right who are shutting it down. I think we need a more I would like to hear a better explanation.
I've not heard a good one yet.
Yeah.
As far as boots on the ground, the military experts say you're going to have Marines if we're going to take Karg Island, which is the main distribution point for Iranian oil and gas.
That's going to shut down the economy completely of Iran.
Yes.
If you take that island. Mm-hmm. But the Marines are going to have to go in there and do it, and the Iranians are waiting on them. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I know
they know it's a.
You have all I'm saying is that you can't take that island without boots on the ground.
Right, right. But here's what I think they're worried about, Steve. And yeah, I'm not saying it's not a. This is a real consideration. If we go in there and take that island, what's it called?
Karg
Island. And you have 500 Marines get killed. Then that's going to be all over. That's all. That's going to be all over the news 24/7. And I'm thinking that President Trump is thinking, I'm going to get crushed for that.
I think it's probably worth saying, for the whole time, I don't think President Trump ever took boots on the ground off the table, because famously, he didn't take anything off the table. When he was asked by reporters, well, boots on the ground, he said, I'm not given a list of things I'm willing or not willing to do. Everything is on the table, he said. It's just most people say you get in a quagmire if you put boots on the ground into Tehran. Karg Island, I believe they can take Karg Island and without losing many Marines at all. It's a small island. They can send special forces in to take out whoever's defending it.
I'm just saying, for as long as the Iranians have known we might do this, mm-hmm. don't think that they haven't planned some booby traps or some kind of action.
It's likely.
Just saying. Of course, our military intelligence probably knows that, because we got satellites to watch what goes on there. Yeah. All right. Well, my guess is President Trump will speak about what the Iranian situation is tonight.
We'll turn to Chapter 32 on Monday.
Yes, Chapter 32.
Tomorrow's Trivia Friday.
The War in Iran, Chapter 32,
Monday.
Monday.
Yeah.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on AFR. Tim, Wesley, Fred, and Steve. Next story, Steve.
I want to talk about a couple of state rankings. CNBC, the news network, ranked the 50 states, and they ranked them by best and worst places to live in 2026.
CNBC, the liberal news network?
CNBC, the liberal news network.
Okay.
And surprise, surprise, all of the worst places to live were red states. All of the best places to live were blue states.
According to the liberal news service, CNBC.
Right. and the reason you might surprise is because some of the things they use to rate these states, crime rates, air quality, healthcare access, worker protection, and civil rights laws. If you look at the list and what they have against these states that they set at the bottom of the list, you'll see things like inclusiveness, reproductive rights, they're weak on these things. I talked with Media Research Center, a guy named Bill D'Agostino there, and he says he sees these lists every so often. Cut 10.
This is a game that the left-wing media and left-wing academia always join forces to play. You design a seemingly objective rating system that is, in fact, not objective at all and entirely based on left-wing sensibilities. You run a bunch of state data through it, and of course the results that come out say, oh, well, when you feed it through our left-wing lens machine, it turns out that all of the left-wing places are better than all of the right-wing places. Liberals will constantly say that they want to live in a city that reflects their values, in a democratic place, whatever, and then they will move to a nice, low-crime, low-tax red state. This is the principle of revealed preference versus stated preference.
So I did a comparison of the worst places to live with the places that people are moving the most, according to U-Haul. U-Haul keeps track of where their moving vans go and stay, and people are I found that four states make both lists of the top 10. Texas is the ninth worst state to live in, and it leads the states of where people are moving.
Okay, so CNBC, again, the liberal news channel, they say Texas is number nine. On the worst places in America to live, right?
Correct.
But you're saying U-Haul begs to differ.
Well, Americans who are moving beg to differ because they are moving there in record numbers.
Okay.
So
what other states?
That's been going on like since COVID.
I know.
I mean, this has been.
I know. Well, I've said, you know, all the places in Texas, not just the big cities, but certainly Dallas, Fort Worth, Houston, San Antonio. Go ahead. Next.
The bottom five states, according to the survey, are Utah, Missouri, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Arkansas is the worst state. Arkansas, surprisingly, though, does make the top of a list. So First Liberty Institute put together a list of religious liberty in the states, an index, and he listed all 50 states by which states have the best religious liberty. And they were looking at things like, do they have implemented the Religious Freedom Restoration Act? Do they have conscience protections in their laws? Can you refuse to do an abortion if you're a doctor or a business? Are clergy protected and able to speak?
So what they say?
Well, Arkansas is the top state, the state with the most religious freedom.
Okay,
and
good for Arkansas. That's
yeah,
great.
At the bottom would be New York.
Oh, that's no surprise.
Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
So who were the? So the tell me the top 10 states that CNBC says are the worst to live in so that I can make my plan should I ever move
all right.
from my home, because I want to go to one of those 10 states.
The top 10 states, Kansas.
Shame on you,
number
Kansas.
Number 10. Number nine is Oklahoma.
I'd be ashamed of yourself.
Alabama.
Alabama.
Missouri.
Missouri, show me.
Right. Georgia.
Huh?
And then I think we're down to number 5 is Louisiana. 4 is Indiana.
Mm.
3 is Texas.
Okay.
One is Tennessee. So it would be Tennessee from worst to least worst.
Tennessee's the worst place?
Tennessee's the worst place.
According to
CNBC.
Okay.
Texas is the next to worst. And then it goes
the
Indiana, Louisiana.
The problem with CNBC is listing this is the American, as you said, the demographics and the people moving to these states are those states you just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
which CNBC said.
As far as liberals moving to different, well, I don't know about necessarily liberals specifically, but people are moving from California, New York to Tennessee, like in droves.
Yeah.
If you go to Nashville,
yeah,
every time I go to Nashville about once every 2 years,
yeah.
like, they're almost in Alabama now.
Yeah,
huh?
That's right.
It's growing so crazy fast, mm-hmm. Especially with people from California.
Yeah, my family's among them.
And Kirk Cameron did that. He talked about that, you know, and that's just so many people are moving to the Nashville area from liberal states. So it must not be too bad. All right, Steve, thank you.
My pleasure.
My thanks to Fred and Wesley. Adam Suddeth, Brent Creeley, Cole Green. And we thank you for listening to today's issues. We'll see you tomorrow with Trivia Friday.